It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, Fairbanks, welcome to the Compo Outdoor Show. Middle of July, it's beautiful. It's one of my favorite times of year. We're going to talk fishing today. We're going to talk fishing, but we're going to start off with a little fishing song that goes way back that actually mentions where some friends of mine and I were fishing here this last Friday and did real well. We're going to talk about that, but let's listen to the song first here.
I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Crossed the tundra bear, man. I breathed an alley air, man. Catch and release, who cares, man? I fished everywhere. I fished Aniak, Yakutak, Kobuk, Alakanuk, Kotzebue, Togiak, Little Sioux, Atamatu, Fairbanks, Selowik, Tetlin, Pelican, Homer, Nenana, Ikineliamna, Bethel, Shagaluk, even Enetuvik, Tangle Lakes, Dodd Lakes, Shoshana, Gaukana. I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Crossed the tundra bear, man. I breathed an alley air, man. Catch and release, who cares, man? I fished everywhere. I fished Squetna, Chitna, Hooper Bay, Chistochina, Tanana, Houston, Paxson, Angelina, Northway, Glacier Bay, Skagway, Camel Lake, Big Lake, Soul Lake, Kivalina, Testamina, Willow Creek, Diamond, Summit Lake, Birch Lake, Wild Lake, Walker Lake, Harding Lake, for Pete's sake. I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Crossed the tundra bear, man. I breathed an alley air, man. Catch and release, who cares, man? I fished everywhere. I fished in Kodiak, Noatak, Kachemak, Shugnak, Chivak, Napaskiak, Whittier, Shaporenak, Ambler, Kaskag, Umiatopognak, Wiseman, Sourdough, Colfoot, Macoriak, Point Hope, Point Lace, Lady Mingalina Bay, Caltech, Beaver, I really got the fever. I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Crossed the tundra bear, man. I breathed an alley air, man. Catch and release, who cares, man? I fished everywhere. Did I mention to Titlick?
All right, oh, wow. That was Roger McGill, and I got Glenn Anderson in the room.
Now, who wrote that? Did you?
I wrote that in 55 minutes. I just sat there and looked up a bunch of Alaskan places that I know.
I've heard some other people use that music, but I've never heard it put together that well. You have over on the screen a bunch of photos. Have you put that to music to make a music video?
Yeah, there is a YouTube video that my daughter Emily put together that's got a picture of each and every one of those communities with people fishing.
Now, how can folks find? Do you have that on your site? So is there?
You know, I need to do that.
I
sent that video. It says 66 reasons to visit Alaska, and I submitted it to the Alaska tourism industry. I said, "This is a free gift. Use it if you want. Get people up here. Put it out there." And they said, "Yeah, no."
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You've got to go to the right people.
I know, I do.
You know who you should take
it
to.
It's really fun to watch.
You know, we happen to know somebody that works at Explore Fairbanks.
There you go.
The Fairbanks Convention Visitors Bureau.
Speaking of that, so the three of us, Jerry Evans, Glenn Anderson, and myself, we decided to go fishing last Friday, make just a marathon day trip.
It's the old turn and burn to Chitna. Yeah. Now, the Chitna, it's funny because over the years, we have... we've had a great time fishing and going to Chitna, but it is hitter. You're rolling dice when you go to Chitna because, the water's up and fishing ain't there. I heard guys already canceling trips.
Wow, and we hit that window.
Hit the window, that's what it is all about, is hitting that. I know so many people and. I don't want to jinx it by saying I've never really been skunked
I've not either. And the thing is about
And I know it, people have gone there all day and fished for 10 hours and got like 8 fish.
And those people generally are soured on going back. But when it's good, it's worth the gamble. It's worth going down there and getting skunked because when it's good, like it was Friday, it's so good.
it's unreal. Yeah. And we've usually lucked out, not only with that, but the weather. Because the only thing that could be worse than the fishing is the weather. And when you hit it both like we did, oh, my God.
Yeah. So a week ago Friday, we're airing Saturday here. So a week ago Friday, the weather looked pretty bum in town. We got out of town.
Yeah.
And it poured rain, I guess, all day
in town.
And we got to... I guess once past Delta and especially towards Glen Allen, it just opened up. We had blue sky. It was hot. We got the boat in the water, and we were excited. You know, we bummed a Satterberg Suburban because my truck was down.
Yeah, a little shout out to Bill Satterberg for a Suburban. And, it worked good. We beat the hell out of that thing, too.
little shout out in lieu of fish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We'll have them over for dinner. It'll work fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Get a bottle of wine and have them over. It'll be fine. And it's such a good trip. Now, I want to put a shout out to my good friend Billy Smith, who has run the coffee shop down there for years.
Oh, yeah.
And he would always, like, send us a text when the weather was, when the fishing was really good.
Yeah.
So I would know. Or you just hear from a couple people, oh, it's hitting this week. And we have our gear, almost like emergency EMTs or something. Once the season comes in, I get my wet bag gear.
Yep. Yep.
I get my first aid gear, the gun, whatever, my pole, all my rain gear. I get it, and it's all just sitting there.
Yeah.
So I can throw it in a car and go. And that's exactly what we did. We decided, I think, Wednesday, hey, let's go. It's hitting. Let's go. All right, here we are. We're going Friday. And we left at 4 a.m.
4 a.m., met at the shop.
Right.
Boat loaded up already, just threw your gear in the Suburban. And
we all had a bunch of, we had enough nets, we had enough coolers, we hoped. We
seven
just,
coolers.
And
they
were.
More.
I don't know if we could. Yeah, we could have if we wanted to stay, but we used every inch of every cooler we had.
And so the other thing is, we left at 4 in the morning. We came back at 2 in the morning. So it's 22 hours of driving.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're driving. We're all the way down there. You know, we take a short break. We take a little bit of a break. And then we're 9 hours on the water. So we got 9 hours of boat drive, or 6 hours of boat driving, I think it was. And then we had 15. We had another 6 hours coming back. But obviously the middle, the water driving. When I'm driving, I hate driving a car. I hate flying in jet airplanes. I could drive a boat 24 hours straight and not have a problem. I love. Is there something different? It's not work at all. It's just fun.
Thank goodness, because we had Compo driving. You basically, out of the 20-hour trip, you were driving about 20 hours of it, or about 18, I would say, because you drove the car there.
Yeah.
You drove the boat the whole time, and Jerry and I did the fishing.
Yes.
And then you drove the car all the way back, because neither of us could use our hands.
Yeah.
If anybody knows, I've done that drive, and it was so nice to have. That's the first time I've ever had somebody else drive.
Yeah.
And because I usually can't even grip that steering wheel. I'm driving with the palm of my hands.
And you need hand strength on this trip.
Oh, and legs, because I was standing on the front of the boat. So I'm like, just my legs are tight the whole time. So, your legs are everything cramps up afterwards.
Sure.
And you can't. It's pretty impressive. For those of you that don't know Chitna, there's a lot of people that may be listening to this and wondering, well, you guys are just fishing. What is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not fishing. It's harvesting. It's different.
It is. It's in the freezer.
And you're on the Copper River, which is one of the most dangerous rivers. I mean, it is gnarly. There's only one other guy that I would feel as safe with as I did with you on, and that was my old man, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
You know, the river rab, old Buckhorn Bud. River is nasty.
Yeah, it is, and it's like the ocean. It can turn fast because they get wind fast down there, and we had a pretty good trip going downriver. I mean, it's always, the biggest risk for me, we prepare the boat. We've got a backup kicker motor. We've got a throw device. We're all wearing life jackets. We're not doing anything foolish in the boat. You know, the boat's big enough where it doesn't really matter where the weight is. We're on a smaller boat. That's critical. I was telling you on the trip where a lot of people get in trouble, they'll take a 16-footer with a 50 jet down there, and they got two or three people in it, and they don't realize the weight of fish. Like, we brought 600 pounds of fish out of there.
Easily. That boat, probably more. I would say probably 1,000, because we didn't clean any of them until we got back.
Yeah, and so I think that the bigger boat obviously can carry that weight, but you get a smaller boat and you get all that weight in there, and then you hit those 3-foot rollers coming through, that can get bad. Stuff can happen fast down there, basically. So you want to have all the preparation you can have down there. Like I said, a kicker motor just to get you to a safe spot until maybe somebody can help you.
Right.
A lot of people, we've lost a lot of people down there, unfortunately, over the years. But
there's
a little window of there's just a little exit ramp there. If you have a kicker motor, but without it, you're just at the mercy of the river.
So. Yeah, and that's a river you don't want to be at the mercy of. Now, that's if you're in the boat. Now, a lot of folks, of course, go down. The good folks at Hemp Charters, been doing it for years. They're awesome. A shout out to them. Now, in the old days, you would put your gear out. In the line. Yeah. Now, I guess we should back up again because we've yet to really explain chitna fishing or dip netting. It is dip netting. It's not, you don't have a lure.
It's catching.
Yeah, it's catching. It's like you can't even see in the water. The water is so silty, it looks like putting creamer into coffee.
Yes.
Where you can't see 3 inches under the water.
And there's a technique to it. And again, I hadn't been down there for a few years and I kind of forgot some of the little tricks, but you have to.
Figured out.
Yeah,
because what it is when you're in chitna, folks, you have a pole which is 10 to 15 feet long, and on the end of that pole is a round or a squarish net, which is, I would say, about 3 feet across.
Legally, 5 feet is the widest angle, the widest you can have, like from. Like measure a moose, you know.
And most of those ones will be used for the folks that you've got two methods of fishing in chitna, from the boat or from the shore.
Right.
From the shore can be every bit as dangerous, if not more because mostly where you're going is you're finding a hole where you're going to just put that pole down there, find where those fish are resting as they're making their way upstream, and you can feel them, and then you pull it straight up, pull them out.
Right.
You got to thump them, you got to clip the tail, string them, put them back in the water, and it's time consuming. And it's dangerous because you're on a cliff,
yes.
Usually on a 2 foot area that you're standing for a few hours in wind and cold and wet.
Yeah.
And you have to rope up. You literally have to tie yourself to a tree for safety.
Right.
The life vest in chitna is basically there
find
to
the
identify the body and find it. That's all it's for. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a life-saving device.
Right.
It's a life. It's a body-finding device at that point. So it's very dangerous to sit there. And the method I'm very good at that. Jerry and I would do what's called the sweeping method.
Yeah.
Whereas. We would go, we've done it on the rocks, but we would go over to a beachy area where the water is quite shallow and there's big rocks out there and the fish would sit right behind these rocks. But instead of just holding the pole down, you've got it away from your body and you're moving it downriver, scooping as you're going. And it is, the ab workout is, it's twice the work, but it can be twice the reward. As I've gone down with Jerry and I and two others where one was unable to fish. He was injured. But he did, because the biggest thing is the thumping and you get the fish, you got to get it untangled from the net, then you've got to thump it, and kill it. Then you got to clip the tail, which by law, you got to clip the back tail. Then you got to put it on a stringer. You usually do stringers of five and put them back in the water so you can count them, because you're looking at 100 and some fish sometimes.
Oh, yeah, 25 a person or 35 per hour.
Exactly. And so when you got one guy and that's their only job, you've got three poles in the water at all time, and that is key. Poles in water,
and that's what's going to catch them. You got to have the net in the water.
And we had a system. You know, we figured it out. It took us a while. That first hour and a half, we were drifting the wrong speed because it had been a while since I'd done it by boat, by any of us.
Yeah, right. And then the water, you know, we were trying to figure out, the current on the bottom is moving a little fast. And of course, once we got up to where we start drifting and just put it in reverse, before you put the nets in the water, get some back momentum going down to match the current, and then back drag.
And that opens up the net. And then what you want to do is just kind of bounce that along the bottom, because those fish are hanging out right at the bottom.
Right.
Usually trying to get away from that current. They got a long way up a very fast river to go.
And I don't know how they see. And maybe that's why you catch them. Maybe they can't see.
I don't know, because they go, you can tell when you have them in the net.
Oh, yeah.
And now the first hour or so we were down there, we didn't do so good.
No,
we were doing it wrong. Jerry had this big round net, and I kept telling him, dude, look, everybody's killing him with these flat bottom nets.
Yeah.
And I probably ended up, when he and I go down, sometimes he brings in the most fish, sometimes. Yeah. This trip, it was me.
Oh, yeah, until he changed his net. Then he started catching up.
Yeah, he took us, he got us home.
Yeah.
Because those last 10 or 15 fish were mostly him. And in the middle, but for a while, I think we'd been there like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we had maybe 12 fish.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we're going to be here for days.
Yeah.
And then
you don't know if it's because, we knew they were running because the people around us were starting to catch, and they'd been there, and they'd got their technique down.
Yeah.
And then they were back in. I'm sure it's just like anything, like riding a bike. You get back on it, you remember, you got to do this or you got to do that. And the same way with getting them in the boat. You got to pull straight up quick because those things will hop out of that net.
And we lost, lost 15, 20 fish that day for that very reason. We'll take a break and I guess we'll explain, we'll talk about our trip and how we figured it out. And we'll share that with you guys coming up.
Let's do that. This is Craig Compo with The Outdoor Show with Glenn Anderson. We're talking chitna. We'll be back in a minute.
The Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
Craig, I was just listening to that promo. I've got to re-up that promo, redo it, because we have more shows coming on after you today. We have a couple. We have Fairbanks Foodies.
Yeah.
And we have our new show, Explore Fairbanks. We were just talking about the guys.
Right.
Jerry Evans, Bill Wright, and Scott McCray talking about tourism in Alaska, which is a great segue coming out of this show. And then Dave Prue's show, Foodies, has been moved back into this lump with us as well.
Okay.
So those are coming up following this. So stay tuned to KFAR, folks.
And Prue's doesn't eat fish. I don't understand that. Has he ever had chitna fish? Has he ever had?
I don't
know.
He cooks it. He cooks scallops.
He doesn't eat salmon.
He's not
a fish guy.
He helped me pick out a smoker after we got back from chitna. I said, I need a new smoker.
Because he knows food.
My wife used it on our, the remaining fish, because you still have some in the freezer. And when you've had it that long, it's like, all right, might as well smoke the stuff because we're going to. Talking chitna.
Then let's talk about Maria's Magic Lunch.
Okay? Oh, okay.
And so when everything changed.
That changed everything for us. Like I said, Jerry and I had those poles in the water a long time. Craig was fishing as well as we we're battling the fish, and after the first couple hours, we just weren't doing that well. Well, my wife, Maria, God bless her soul, made us some chicken salad with the walnuts, onions, and craisins.
And it's hard to stop and eat.
Yeah, because you don't want to stop at all. And
when,
so we actually said, all right, let's just take a break.
We were hungry.
Had a beer, sat up on the shore, and we ate her sandwiches. Wow, those were great sandwiches.
Yeah.
And the second we got back in the boat, and I put a net in the water, boom, two fish were in it.
Yeah.
And then Jerry got a fish, and then we got two more, and then we were getting three. And at one time, I pulled up a quad, four. I've never done it in all my trips to Chitna. Four
it's rare.
In one I've never, net.
Yeah. And it was really
and I
neat.
Needed help.
Yeah. You know, it was funny for me because what would happen was when you guys would get fish, as this trip went on, you'd get fish in the net. And I could tell there was some fatigue eventually because, well, number one, you got a 35-pound king or whatever you got. But you also got four in the net. And I knew, and you knew when you had something big in the net or multiple fish, you could, a little help here.
I go, help?
And so we'd bring the net up and I'd grab one in, we kind of flip them onto the floor so you could just get the net back in the water.
We'd just get, because you're drifting. We have about, the way you work it there is there is one area near the bottom of the canyon. There's actually a sign on the shore. They should probably make that a little more visible to be quite honest, and it says do not fish below this point.
Right.
At that point you got to pull your nets out of the water and you go up maybe 200 yards.
Couple hundred yards maybe, yeah.
And then you turn the boat backwards and you drift back again. And then you keep doing that same
route.
So
it's like a 3-minute drift, maybe
if
three,
that.
2 or 3 minutes.
That's
yeah,
all
the
you
most.
Get.
Yeah, and so what you got to do, you get the fish on the floor of the boat, and then you get the nets back until you're into that.
Right.
And then for that even shorter run back up, you have to get back down off the deck. You got to
clip a tail and get them in the cooler. Yeah,
And then you're right back in the water again. And I always go, hey, nets in the water. You know, I'm just kind of coaching.
Nets out, nets in. Yeah. And besides that, we have, on a couple of those runs when we were just hauling in the fish. We did, about 40 fish in 35 minutes right
after
lunch.
Yeah, that's right. It was 35 fish in 30 minutes. I know that.
Right.
35 fish in 30 minutes.
Yeah, and really in a span... We came home with almost 120 fish total, yeah. And I would say we did most of that damage in about a 3-hour span, even though we were on the water about 6 or 7 hours.
And talking to a lot of guys, the unexpected, the Kings, there was a better run than they thought. We talked to some people that you couldn't keep more, but they caught a dozen or 15 Kings and had to let them go.
Yeah, they had to let them go. They said, hey, do you want a King?
Yeah.
Said, no, we want to catch our own, and we did. We caught a couple beasts.
Yeah. And then the Reds actually are, I think, a little bigger on average than they've expected. So nobody knows why.
We had some big fish in there, yeah.
Yeah, nobody really knows why, you know, when they're not supposed to show up and they show up and they're late and they don't know why. There's a lot of factors in our group, the Laundry House Gang and Virgil Umpenauer's in there. I mean, they're all scratching their heads some years. You just don't know why certain years it's exceptional.
It has
exceptional.
To do, I think, with the currents in the ocean. And
2015, there was 1.3 million reds came through the sonar, and about a quarter million, about 225,000 got harvested. And so I think this year, right when we were down there, it had just crossed 650. You know, so it's probably going to be, I don't know, 800 to a million. I don't know how many fish are going to come through the sonar this year. But
right. And like we said, you do have to time it out right, because when that water rises, and it rises for a couple of reasons. You're thinking, well, yeah, the weather's beautiful. How come it's coming up? Well, when the weather's beautiful, you get the melt-off up high. And we had a very late melt-off. So a lot of that in the mountains is still coming off. When we get hot weather, it's still melting off. And all that hot weather that we got last week, that's what rose that river.
Right.
And that's why it's so high right now. In years past, sometimes it's because of heavy rains.
Yeah.
So
the fish are still
happen.
Moving, but they're harder to catch.
Yeah. And
they're
then
deeper.
When, yeah.
You
and
know.
And a lot of those holes, I think you almost need a boat at that time, because a lot of those holes next to the cliffs are kind of blown out when the water gets deep. And the fish just aren't in them. You have better luck in a boat when the water's high.
And speaking of shamelessly plugging the boat, so what we had for a boat was my 22-foot SJX 200-horse inboard jet. The secret on that river is you don't want to be underpowered and you don't want to be too short of a boat. So, and I tell, there's a term in the boating industry called two-footitis. And everybody, they'll buy a boat and a year later they go, I love my boat, I wish I'd have bought 2 foot longer boat. Because the longer the boat, it planes like an airplane wing. It lifts easier. It holds the weight up easier. You don't need all this power. When you
get
a short boat and a big load, you got to run full throttle. It puts wear and tear on a motor. It burns more fuel, and there's a lot of disadvantage. And it's less on a place like Chitten. It's way less safe.
And we were probably at about max with three of us in that boat. It was perfect. We were still hitting each other and crossing swords. And I think we both clubbed you in the head two or three times.
Yeah.
And I was purposefully, and I told you this, I was purposefully, when I'd swing my net around, I was dripping it over your head on purpose each time, just because I could.
That's why I smell like fish.
Yeah, that's
my
exactly
hair was
why.
Full of fish line.
And we did we did well the rest of that day, but coming up the river, it was wild. Now,
well, back up just a minute. Remember, you and I were kind of, and you guys, your hands were starting to cramp up.
Yeah,
and
we were getting real tired.
And everybody had gone. We had 2 hours to ourselves, right?
And that's when we were killing it too, because there was nobody else drifting. When we first got there, there's like six boats in line.
Saying, did somebody see a weather forecast I didn't see? Because everybody was gone. And of course, Jerry wanted to keep fishing.
He'd still be fishing.
I said, we're out of cooler space. We had seven coolers. There wasn't room for a railing in there.
And we hadn't really gotten a good count of how many we had.
Yeah,
so we didn't want too many.
Right.
And we were pretty close, actually.
Yeah, we were really close.
We knew we had at least 100, 110.
Yeah.
And it ended up, I think, 115 reds and two kings.
That's right.
So
and so we got, when we got out of there, and it was, 6:30?
6:30 or 7, but right before then, we were talking. Our buddy Kelly Lawson is on the shore.
Oh, yeah.
And his eyes are the size of pie
pans.
Well,
we heard gunfire.
We heard a couple shots. We're right. Going, what the heck is that? We get over there to the shore, and Lawson's the only one there. There's no boats. There had been a couple boats and a couple campsites set up there. One of them was our good buddy from Arctic Fire, Shane Burnett, who I've fished Chitna with before, and he is deadly into it.
Oh, he's into it. He was, as a kid, I remember when he was young at Harding Lake, he was on the end of the dock 24-7 catching
fish. Oh, yeah. That's all he wants to do is catch fish. Yeah. He's like VMAX.
Yeah.
And so Kelly's there alone in the camp. They had gone up to the landing to pick somebody up, and he said that the biggest moose he had ever seen ran through their camp, and the reason it did was because it was being chased by a fairly large black bear who then stopped and wouldn't leave the camp.
Yeah, smelled the fish, probably said, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. And
I'm having fish tonight.
They needed warning shots, and that still didn't scare them. They said he didn't leave till they started throwing rocks at him.
Yeah.
And then now, the next night, I got word from Maria, who works over there at Arctic Fire, that Shane heard something inside the tent, thought somebody was goofing around. They came out. His tent had big rips in it.
Oh,
so it came back. Oof. But I tell you what, everybody in that, he's lucky he didn't wake anybody up because everybody in that camp was loaded
locked
for
and
bear,
loaded.
Literally. Yeah. Yeah. So here we are. We have about 1,000 pounds of fish. Shane comes back and he goes, oh my God. He says, now it was about 20 mile an hour winds when we got there at the bridge where we put in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, the wind is kicking well over 30, 40. And he said, the swells were like 3.5 feet.
Yeah.
And so now we're trying to get done and get everything wrapped up to get up there. And here we are in Compo's SJX, three of us going upriver. By the time we got up there, it was 50 mile an hour winds.
Oh, yeah. It was
whipping.
It was
insane.
Yeah, spray coming over
spray
the boat.
Spray coming over. It was like being in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you said, it had totally turned.
And Jerry's in the front of the boat with no jacket, no nothing on. He's just happy. He was just happy.
He was in a t-shirt and jeans.
He didn't care.
No.
He had a boatload of fish.
No rain gear on. Just the wind and the sand is whipping him. He was happy as a clam. And here we are with 1,000 pounds of fish trying to get up that river. And that boat of yours, it was like butter. It was like no...
Yeah, that boat, it really is impressive. And, you know, it's got good power and everything. I love my SJX. And the hardest part of the whole trip was probably getting back on the trailer. The wind is blowing inward towards the bank. And so I nose the boat in, and then the wind, Rocky McDonald's there, and he had brought the wrong boat down there. And obviously he had just put it off and it just worried about the boat turning and getting pushed up onto the mud. It was blowing that hard.
Yeah. So, and I did everything. It took everything I had just to keep the back end of that boat pointing out.
Yeah.
And man, I was just pushing it and holding it. And we tried, I think you backed up, tried 2 or 3 times before we finally got it on the trailer.
Yeah. Then, because it just kept kicking it. It was wicked wind.
And we had Satterberg's, Suburban, and you had to be so careful opening the door because the wind would have ripped that thing right off. It was that hard. It took 2 of us to close the car door. Remember that?
I'm in my tennis shoes in the water, helping, trying to get the boat going and whatever. And, of course, nothing like driving home with wet feet. So, of course, I took my shoes and socks off, come home.
Yeah, that was nice. Thank you for that part.
I'm not done. The next day, a friend of mine's getting in the Suburban, and the first thing they say is, smells like feet in here. And I look down on the floor and there's these wet socks. Sorry, Bill. I did buy an air freshener for you.
It overpowered the fish. That's a powerful feat.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of cups of coffee, a lot of corn nuts and jerky on that trip to get down and back. And we came back. We took the fish straight in. We didn't gut it. That's the first time I've ever done nothing. Yeah. We couldn't do anything there. Thank God we didn't decide to clean the fish because we would not have been able to.
We were just spent, man.
And the wind. There's no way. We just had to get out of that canyon. It was total chaos. Stuff was blowing around. Everybody's freaking out.
And then, of course, it's 2 in the morning. We're going to meet at Virgil's place at
10 a.m.
Interior Fish at 10 a.m. And we were there at 10 a.m. And we unloaded all the fish, took a bunch of pictures in the tote, and they were like, "Wow, this is like they only had one other group all year that have brought anything close to that amount of fish to them." So anyway, it's done now.
It's done for 1 year. One more harvest is in the books, and the freezer is full, and we're gonna eat well this weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna do good. And I do encourage anybody that's never been down there, go with somebody else that knows the area the first time. Don't go down there, even if you have to, and if you're taking your own boat, go with somebody else that's done it. They know where to run. and you want to bring home a bunch of fish, make sure the fishing is good. You can get that information from folks. And
it was the first year I got to use my Everything Forever license because I'm 60 now. So that was a real treat.
Nice.
That was a real treat.
All right, Glenn Anderson talking Chitna with the great trip last Friday with Jerry Evans and Glenn and myself.
Sorry to rub it in for those of you that hadn't made your trip yet. Sorry about that.
And don't ask us for fish. We eat this over the winter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show, and we will see you next Saturday.
Coming up, foodies.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.